We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The skills is paying me like $5,000 for this. What about you, Jay?
Holy shit. I'm getting $2, bro.
Oh. $2 to be on the podcast. That's crazy.
I just show up, bro. That's crazy.
I'll give you a bonus because Benfica went through. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the next Stick Talk podcast, man. Hey, listen, man. We're in the top 50 for sports and football podcasts. Hey, top 50. That's pretty sick, man. We got so much to talk about, man. Welcome to another episode. Yeah, we have last episode was my boy, amazing singer, Jay. What an episode that one was. You know what I'm saying?
James.
Yeah, Jay. How sick was that? Man. Yeah, and now we follow up with the one and only, the English GOAT. Right after him, the Penfest. What a guy! And yeah, man.
Can we just talk about his sweater? Your hoodie's pretty good, but your sweater looks good, bro.
You look at that, man.
That's nice, right?
You look like
Christmas sweater,
like you could have hit me up and been like, "Yo, we're dressing up for this." Mate, you know what I'm saying? I would have brought a tie and everything. You know what I'm saying?
He looks straight out of Christmas dinner, bro. Like,
hell yeah, dude.
You look good, dude. It's unbelievable, man. Hey, listen, if you're listening on Spotify and Apple Music, you couldn't see, but he has like a nice. Let me explain this. It's exactly what your favorite uncle would show up to at dinner. On Christmas dinner. And yeah, hair sticking up nice. Looks like he's almost part of like the Christmas special of NSYNC.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Bye.
You know when I was down in Texas, I was chilling with Complexity and I made that joke and none of my teammates knew who NSYNC was.
That's crazy. Dude, you know what that means?
Man, that means you're old as shit.
That was the moment when I realized I've been playing this game for too long.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? Anyways, guys, welcome to the Stick Talk podcast, man. Make sure to rate us, like us on Spotify, Apple Music. Check out Nepenthes. He is an unbelievable content creator. And he has a main channel where he does SBCs. That's Nepenthes.com. And then he has a Draft to Glory channel, which is, what is that? That one's just called Draft to Glory, right? YouTube.com for Draft to Glory. And then,
Lauren says to me today, sorry to interrupt you. She says, what's your draft channel called again? Draft to Glory. She goes, why didn't no one else take that? I said, I don't know. Dude, I don't know how I got that.
You know what mine is? Foot drafts.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
How did nobody take foot drafts?
God knows, man.
You know why?
Because drafts are dead.
Dead game. No, I'm kidding. That's the answer to everything, right? Dead game. Anyways, make sure to check out my brother. What's your socials, man?
At Real J Tunes for my RTG. Just started for the holiday edition, man. I'm on J Tunes FIFA.
There you go, man.
Check that out. Yeah.
And yeah, man, don't worry about checking me out because it's dead.
I mean, they're gonna check you out anyway. No, you're not dead, bro.
Real quick, listen, man. When you're listening to this, it's kind of be a little bit outdated. Barca just went to the Europa League for the first time in 18 years.
Isn't it 20?
18 years, the first time in the Europa League in 18 years. And it shows the impact of a Messi and a Ronaldo. It really does. It really shows the impact of a Messi and a Ronaldo. Madrid a little bit less because Madrid had the likes of Benzema, who was kind of shadowed by Ronaldo. Wouldn't you agree? For so long,
yeah.
And then they were smart, right? Because Ronaldo went out, and when Ronaldo went out, they had a replacement of Vinny, right?
They've had replacements in everything.
Well, they spent a lot of money on Hazard. Messi left, and there was no replacement.
You want to know what's crazy? Which obviously most people know anyway. They scored two goals in the Champions League groups. Who was Barcelona.
I know they scored they scored zero against Benfica, and everyone scores against Benfica.
Did you hear the news?
No.
Supposedly, or maybe it's a rumor, supposedly Memphis Depay, who just went there, right? He went there for Coleman. Now that Coleman's gone, he's okay at leaving Barca. He doesn't want to be there.
Well, I think he went. I remember when he first signed for Barcelona, he said Messi didn't even say, I didn't even get to say hi to him, almost like in a sad way. So I think he went there. The thing with Barca is I think Barca was expecting to keep Messi.
Yeah.
And and Madrid was never expecting to keep Ronaldo. You get what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of like yin and yang type thing, or like peanut butter and jelly. I think Messi and Ronaldo both need Madrid and Barca.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like I think they did so well in their careers because those teams fit them so well, dude. Look at Messi taking so long in France to adapt, and Ronaldo's adapted everywhere, but he's never been the same Ronaldo.
He's not been the same, yeah.
No, I mean,
dude, that's because they took years to build a team around Ronaldo, didn't they? Everyone that was bought in was to suit him, and his last name with Messi. Everyone was bought in to suit him.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're going to teams that are already built. Yeah.
Hey, I got.
I made a bold statement at the start of this season, right? And I'll probably live to regret it, but we'll say here again. When I was talking about Ronaldo going to Manchester United, somebody said, how many goals do you think he's going to score this season? And my initial response was like 12 to 15. That's how many Premier League goals I think he's going to get. And man, did people laugh at me, right? People laugh so hard at me. And okay, granted, he has got 6 goals so far this season, and then we're not yet halfway through the season, but he's only scored against 4 teams in 12 games in the Premier League, twice against Arsenal, twice against Newcastle, and 2 singles. But he's only scored against 4 teams in 12 games. How crazy is that? That's Ronaldo.
Yeah, but
also, I think he's going to end the season, bro. I said like 30, bro. I still think he's going to get the goals, bro.
I think he'll get 30 altogether because in the Champions League, he already has.
Yeah, Champions League, he's like got 7 or something already, hasn't he? Like, but or 6,
I also think that it's going to change massively because of the new manager. Like, things will now event. Like, I think United will change a lot. We're going to talk about all that in a minute. We got an awesome sponsor for today. Guys, Nepenthes has beautiful hair. And I don't, unfortunately, because I lost all my hair. But guess what? You cannot use yours. Because right now, you can head over to keeps.com/sticks and get yourself a free month, all right, of the product that will make your hair stop falling off. You'll see results in 4 to 6 weeks. Keeps, thank you so much for sponsoring today's episode. Listen, $10 after that per month. It's 5-star reviews, man, and it'll keep your hair, because guess what? I couldn't keep mine. Unfortunately, I'm bald, very, very bald, and I just wish I could have some beautiful hair like Nepenthes just so I could put my hair in through.
Yeah, and maybe dye it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, look, he got the black on, the dyeing. Look, if you want to keep your hair like that, make sure you go over to keeps.com. /stick and get involved, man. Make sure you keep your hair and make sure it stays around, especially if you're European. I feel like European have really, really bad. I don't know, man. It's in our genes. Anyways, we jump into this next conversation. Nep Keeps, thank you once again for sponsoring today's episode of Stick Talk. We appreciate you for being so awesome to us. Now, I sat down with my stream the other day, Nep, and we're gonna talk about FIFA in a minute. And we started looking at salaries of all the teams in England.
Yeah.
And I looked at how much the City paid, and surprisingly, United and Chelsea are paying more than City, which is something really to think about, right? But and that's what salaries, monthly salaries, yearly salaries. And then I looked at Arsenal's team, and for a long time I've been blaming Arteta. And when I was going down that list of team, Arsenal just doesn't have a good team for a top 6 Prem team.
Yeah. Well, right now we only have 5 senior players in the whole squad. One of them is Leno, and he's been output by Ramsdale. Yeah. One of them is Xhaka, who's a loose cannon. Then you got Aubameyang and Lacazette, who, like, you know, not really on form and stuff. And then
they're not
the other,
performing at all.
Then the other senior player, I couldn't even tell you who the 5th senior player was, man. That's how bad it is. It's diabolical. But what we do have is like the youngest team in the league right now. Everyone in our team, Ben White is young. Gabriel is like 23. Tierney is young. Tomiyasu is young. Lokonga is young. Like Gabriel Martinelli, Saka, Smith Rowe. We have such a young team that we are. Like, if we can bring in a couple of established good strikers this winter, we got a chance of winning a lot of games again, right?
Would you want Aubameyang gone? Because I'm hearing a lot of Arsenal fans saying it's time for Aubameyang to move on.
The reason why I do want him to move on is because I don't want him to be remembered the way he's playing right now. I want his legacy to be remembered as someone who was like insane for us, you know, top 5 strikers in the world at one stage whilst he was playing for us. Like, I want him to be remembered like that. I love Aubameyang, and I think he deserves better than all the abuse he's getting. But it is like uncanny, isn't it? Ozil got a massive paycheck and then underperformed for seasons after. Aubameyang gets a massive paycheck and he just hasn't performed since.
I just wonder though, if, because I think a team works with young players, but you need to sprinkle in them guys, you know, them old heads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need that sprinkled in. I think Arsenal's so young. If you watch the last couple games of them, after they score a goal, it's like they think it's the 90th. They think they've won.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally trying to shut it down and hold out. Yeah.
They think they've won. And I think that's just a young mentality. And I think here's the problem with football right now. And not just football, but I think most importantly, here's the problem with young English players. I think a lot of pressure's put on Mason Mount, Saka, these young guys. They're like thrown in and they're like, all right, now you're like, they're so, you get what I'm saying with that?
Yeah. A guy, you have to go out there and do your thing and make sure that you perform without the experience, bro. Like, you could have all the potential and all the talent in the world, bro. If you don't have the experience and know when to go, when not to go, when to pass, when to put pressure, like, you're screwed. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's media, bro. Like, this whole, like, next Ronaldo, next Messi, next this, next that, bro. And then everybody just hypes. Unfortunately, this is what's been happening with the English players for a while. The English players, in my opinion, are always overhyped. And some of them, you know, deserve it, and other players don't. And it's, I think, that much pressure. Dele Alli, for example, right? He had one good season.
What happened to him?
The pressure, bro. I think pressure, managers. Being at Spurs, unfortunately, he just went to shit. And maybe attitude, bro. I don't know what happened, but he was supposed to be the guy. What happened to Dele Alli, bro?
I don't know. Anyways, back to Arsenal. We're speaking about Arsenal. I just don't think. Let's say they fired Arteta. Let's just say, yeah. Right? And everybody was like, oh, Zidane. Let's just say Zidane took that job, which he won't. But let's say he did. How many wins do you expect Zidane to get?
Probably with not that much more than what Arteta can get. It's not right? It, because at this point, like, the management and the coaching is certainly an issue. And like you say, like, when we go 1-0 up, we then play like we're 2 minutes left and trying to hold on to a win. Zidane wouldn't be that way. So maybe we would, you know, we went 1-0 up or 2-1 up against United or 1-0 up against United, whatever. Maybe we press and get a second goal and maybe we win that game. Same as against, who do we just lose to? Everton. We go 1-0 up against Everton, man. They're so out of form. Like, once we went 1-0 up, that shouldn't have been, all right, guys, we're 1-0, let's hold. That should have been, right, we're 1-0 up against this weak team, let's go and put this game to bed. And that's what Arteta isn't doing and what he needs to do. And that's what we need a manager to come in and do. Whether or not that would actually create more wins, I don't know, because it might be that then false confidence of, oh, yeah, we're sick, let's go out and play. And then we just get battered on the counter because we're trying to overplay, you know. So, tough, man. It's tough. We need more players. That's the problem. We need established, experienced players.
You guys don't really... Excuse me, Jesus. You bought these younger guys, but I don't know who can you guys attract? Like, these senior guys, who could, honestly,
a lot, everybody wants
who
to play
could
it,
you
though. It's that let me explain.
Who could they attract though that's gonna actually help them out?
Go ahead. You look around leagues, and me and my stream did this. The Premier League is the only one that can pay a beautiful yearly salary.
But even if you look at Everton, for example, they got Alan and James Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Like, they're mad players.
Because these teams
Everton.
Can pay. These teams
yeah, exactly.
can pay. Like, the end of the day, the Premier League, like you look at, like, the Portuguese League or something, the highest paid player there is 3 million. In England, the lowest paid player at most teams is like 2-3 million, unless you're really, really low down, young player, you know what I mean? But you can attract a lot of talent, because paying someone 6 million a year, 7 million a year is a big deal. And players will come from everywhere and anywhere to play for Arsenal because of that reason.
Our board came out, there was an article on like arsenal.com. We have 204 million to spend without breaking financial fair play rules, which means we can afford to go and pay some crazy money to like 3 or 4 players and be like, look, here's the plan. Here's the 2-year, 3-year plan. Come and be with us for this plan. And that's when you'll get some, like, I'm not saying we're going to be signing, you know, like Mbappes and Neymars and whatever, but players like Isaac or this Vlahovic guy for Fiorentina, who's like killing it there. you know, like some real cool players that are like doing bits. Like Renato Sanchez supposedly is like heavily linked to Arsenal right now, and I think he'll be great. He has got bundles of experience, man.
And Barca. He was supposed to be at Barca this summer. If he didn't take the injury, he would have been at Barca. So it's between Barca and Arsenal that are trying to.
Yeah,
someone's getting him.
Yeah, and he's you know, when he was at Swansea, he was awful, but. Man, he's so young and he's been through so much already. He's so experienced already.
The Swansea thing was he was having a dude. He won everything with Benfica, won the Euro with Portugal, goes to Bayern. They bench him, which Bayern made no sense. He picked Bayern, which made no sense because they had everyone. Goretzka, they had everyone. It made no sense for him to go there. Then gets thrown to Swansea. Goes, but I'll give you a quick rundown. Right, Aubameyang, 13 million. I think this is pounds a year, or maybe this is euros. Partey with 10 million a year. Lacazette with 9 million a year, Pepe with 7 million a year, Ben White with 6 million a year, and Tierney with 5 million a year. Most of these guys are just kind of past it.
So Pepe isn't even playing for you guys right now, is he?
Arteta hates him, apparently, yeah.
If you can move Aubameyang, if you can move Lacazette, if you can move Pepe, that's 30 million of salary, dude.
Yeah, straight off, yeah.
Straight off your thing. When you really sit down, you look at salaries of what teams are paying people. Xhaka makes 5 million. Martinelli makes 4 million. A lot of the guys that are actually performing at Arsenal aren't even getting paid.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And the guys that are underperforming are all getting paid. So,
yeah, because it's a payday for them, bro. They done. I'm going to be honest.
I don't think it's a payday.
I think Lacazette should have left, honestly, and I think Aubameyang just doesn't care anymore.
Listen.
I'm going to be real with you.
I don't think it's a thing of money. Like, Nep, listen to this top. I'm going to give you just the top 10 paid players at your team and tell me how many games this team actually should win if it wasn't Arsenal. Let's say if they play for United, anywhere they played. Aubameyang, Partey, Lacazette, Pep, Ben White, Tierney. How you say that guy's name that starts with a K?
Kolasinac.
Yeah, that dude makes 5 mil. Leno and Xhaka, and then Martinelli. That's your highest paid Arsenal players.
Yeah, it's just not good enough, is it? Kolasinac isn't even a rotation player. He's like the God. If we need anyone, it'll have to be you kind of player. He's making 5 mil a year.
It's mad. It's mad.
That is mad.
It's mad that like does Cedric play for y'all?
Well, again, he's like, now that Tomiyasu is here, Cedric was brought in as like a backup for Bellerin. And then obviously Bellerin went to Betis. But then we brought in Tomiyasu and he's been performing well. So Cedric just kind of fills when there's like injuries and stuff.
4 mil, by the way.
Are you enjoying Tomiyasu? Is he doing pretty well for you?
He's so sick, man. Yeah, he's one of the shining stars. But you can see, though, he's young and inexperienced. Because like against Man United, he just wasn't great.
Yeah.
But you expect that from players that are that young. You need them to go through those games. But what he should have had is he should have had somebody in front of him and somebody to the side of him that's coaching him through the game. But unfortunately, they're also young players.
Yep.
But they don't have anyone to help them either. So there's a lot of learning to be done. But Tomiyasu has got a lot of potential, yeah.
Who's the leader? Who's like the guy?
Aubameyang's supposed to be it, yeah.
That's him? It's supposed to be him?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just not.
It's just not. It's tough, man. They're in a tough place because you can't, when you really sit down and you look at this lineup, you can't blame Arteta. Because I blamed a lot of Arteta. I did. I swear I blamed a lot. Because they're like, oh, he's supposed to be this and this with Guardiola. Bro, give Guardiola this team. Poor guy.
Yeah, he's not doing much better.
No, he'll win a couple extra games, but poor guy, man. Yeah, yo, he would like, oh, his hair has no hair already, man. Not even Keeps could save him at this point, bro. Like, you give this man this lineup, poor guy, man. It's one of those things it's tough, dude. Like, you know, because
I read like a big interview of Arteta with Edu, I don't know what role they actually say he has now, but you know, he's the guy that's like basically between the board and Arteta. And in this interview, he was very open and honest. And he was like, yeah, we've got a plan, right? We brought in all this cool youth. We brought in for the future. Then for the next sort of like 4 to 6 transfer windows, we're going to bring in 1 or 2 established players per transfer window to really flesh out the squad and build out the squad. And the plan is that over the next 4 or 5 years, you will see a flourishing Arsenal. And then the interview was like, but what if like, the plan fails. He's like, look, then we failed, right? Then we, you know, we have to rethink. But that is their vision, is to build a really young, incredibly promising team, slowly but surely filter in really good experienced players to help bring these guys through and turn Arsenal around. And you got to be honest, it's kind of working. Like, we're not doing good, sure, but we are showing signs of like, oh God, like when you look at the players that we have that can be great, You look at Martinelli. You look at Emil Smith Rowe, at Saka, at Tierney, at Tomiyasu. Gabriel, I think, is an insane centre-back. Like, we have got, like, six or seven youth players that have got really, really good potential. So it is exciting. It's just, it's like, it's, we'll look back on this, like, this kind of conversation in 5 years and be like, oh, I remember when you were, like, worried about your club and now look where they are? Mm-hmm. Or you'll look back on this and be like, oh, damn, remember that time where you was, like, thought you had a promising team, but now look where they are? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be one of those.
Yeah, no.
It seems like you guys have been rebuilding for so long, though. I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Arsenal feel like they've been in the rebuild stage for like 10 years now. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it works. Bringing the youth in is definitely smart. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think, you know, Haaland's available. You guys got the money for it, but I don't think you can attract somebody like that at striker.
I'm telling you, bro. But that one of the next guys up and nobody's talking about, I'm not saying this because of FIFA neither, this Jonathan David guy.
Oh, he's insane, yeah.
And Arsenal's linked to him for 55
million. We're linked to him, yeah. He's amazing to come to us because he'll just be another guy that just can actually bang goals for us.
No one really says much about him because he's out in Lille and stuff like that, but I think he's up there with like Haaland and them, like to be like 21 and be like the, like guy with like the most goals this year type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like but again, Haaland's been injured a lot, but again, he's just someone that's promising. Renato Sanchez is someone that's promising, but I think that Arsenal need a little bit of veteran presence. I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they need some of those guys that you look at Liverpool, and I know it's like a joke and stuff like that, but like Milner and stuff.
Yeah, Milner and who else do they have that's like even Matip, dude, like, you know, he's just got a lot of experience, man. Like,
even at this point, Henderson. These aren't players that are like, oh my God, look at them. They're so gifted, but they're warriors. About Liverpool.
Before Klopp took over,
true.
They were an absolute mess of a team with like no stars, man. Like, true. And now Klopp comes in. I think his first two seasons, he did terribly. And then he started, you know, that's how long it takes. And people are always like, oh, Arteta out or this guy out. And I'm like, look, you need to give a manager time, not only to get his kind of his style of play on the team, but you need to give him time to transform the team and bring in who he needs, because you can't just say, oh, it's as simple as, oh, sell everyone that he doesn't want and buy everyone that he does want. Because first of all, players might not be available. Players might not want to come to the club, but also he might think, oh, this player would be a good fit. He comes in for a season. Okay. He wasn't a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to try this guy. And, you know, over time, Klopp has built a ridiculous Liverpool team, you know, but that didn't just happen over like 6 months or 2 or 12 months. It happened over like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, he found a stud in Salah out in Italy, right? From
yeah, well, Roma. Chelsea threw Salah away, didn't they, man? Like
to Roma, and then he went and snatched them, bro. Yeah, that was a great pickup. Where did he get Mane from? Where did he find Mane? Was he in Germany?
Southampton, man. Southampton Mane came
from. Oh yeah, that's right. Southampton. Where did they get him from?
They also got VVD from Southampton, if I'm not mistaken. Right? Southampton's just out there making players and being like, yeah, anybody want to pick him up? Go ahead, dude.
Unbelievable. Yep. But Liverpool, I think Liverpool is the model that Arsenal kind of needs to follow in a way, because Liverpool don't really, after the VVD sign, they haven't really splashed loads and loads of money.
They're really, really, they don't have any depth whatsoever either,
right,
bro.
Now, Aftron is going to like screw them if it goes on. But Salah and Mane 100%. And Matip all going away, that's going to be tough for Liverpool.
Well, dude, if you look at Liverpool's lineup again, I was looking at prices, they're old and they're getting very old, very, very, very fast.
Yeah.
But another thing is, you know, it's a different time now, bro. Like, how much did they pay for Salah back then? Right? You ain't finding a player like Salah for that money no more. That's just not happening.
I mean, look at, you're just talking about Jonathan David, 55 million. The guy's had, okay, he is doing good, but he's had like 9 good months. And now all of a sudden he's 50, like Haaland. How much do you think you'd have to pay for him? 200 million?
Well, I think something happens at the end of the year where his clause is like 70 or something. I know that.
Look, man, I said this in my stream, bro. They're getting Mbappe, Real Madrid. I know we're talking about Arsenal and the Prem right now. Look, they were going to spend 120 Real Madrid. Real Madrid can go buy out the clause for Haaland. Like, it's already like supposedly in the works already for Mbappe's going to Real Madrid. It's going to happen in January. They're going to pre-sign all that bullshit. So,
but he's not going in January. It's just a pre-sign.
No, it's a pre-sign, but he'll get him in the summer.
He's
and then the
so
clause.
Dumb, man. Just let him go. Get your money.
And Real Madrid had 120. Then who knows how much they have to spend now? They could pick up Haaland and also Mbappe, bro.
They're going to.
That shit would be nutty, bro.
Listen, this is what's going to happen. Mark my words. Some dumb team in England is going to take Hazard. That's going to be Newcastle.
Well, he's been linked to Arsenal as well. As it has.
Oh, no, Dembele supposedly as well, right?
Stop it! You think so? You think he'll get Hazard?
You guys don't want Hazard, bro.
You want Nep wants him. I can see it on his.
Why do you want him?
His sweater's prickly, like pickling up. I can see it, bro. You want him?
I'll tell you, because if Hazard can recapture the form when he was at Chelsea, yes, I want him, man.
Is there a lot of McDonald's in London?
Yo, supposedly his attitude's really, really bad. You know, I'm just saying, for Hazard. I've heard things about Hazard that supposedly, like, he's lazy as shit, well, and you see it at Real Madrid.
I heard he's going to Newcastle. I heard he's most likely going
I heard Dembele supposedly is going to Newcastle, but I don't know, bro.
This is what I think. Jonathan David needs to go to thing. Mark, look, you guys can come back here, and whether this summer or this January, I promise you right now. City pays over 70 million for that dude Darwin at Benfica. I guarantee you, bro. Because they're stupid. Yeah.
I hope they buy him because he needs to leave ASAP. Please.
Because I heard I was reading up some stuff that, like, United and City are now fighting for this guy. Unbelievable. Fighting for what?
Can you take Weigl too? I'll give you a list. Just take him off our hands, please. They're so bad.
I don't know what you're talking about. Weigl's.
I hate Weigl, bro. Anyway, I want him gone so bad.
Anyway, so, Nepa, you know, looking at the whole Arsenal thing, man, it was. I don't know, man. I think Anthony David would be a good guy for y'all, man. I do.
Yeah, I would like him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Anthony David, and then a couple. I feel like you need like maybe someone older in the back.
Yeah, like someone that can lead the line. Yeah, literally. Like we just need someone that's like been around a bit, man. You know, like quite literally like a Chiellini or someone that just doesn't give a damn or shout and scream at people, pull people all over the place and tell them where to be and how to play, man. Like that's who we need, someone like that.
I say Anthony David. I'm about to say Jonathan David. Yeah, I think you.
How are you liking that Nuno Tavares, bro? Because I be seeing that you don't like him a lot.
No, I like him, man. But he again is just one of these players. Like he's just young and inexperienced, man. And what he does every time he makes a mistake, he tries so hard to fix it that it ends up causing him to make another mistake. You know, And it's like, dude, just if you make a mistake, just accept it, settle down, and play again because he's got potential. But Kieran Tierney is just he's just like world class, man. Like I don't know how Tavares is going to stay in the team with Tierney around.
Well, I'm telling you, Nuno at Benfica, the one thing I said, he's not great at defending, makes a lot of mistakes, but his crossing ability, he has like the Marcelo bend when he whips it in. But besides that, I liked him going forward. I didn't like him defend just like Alex Grimaldo. I like a lot of the players at Benfica offensively, defensively. They just can't defend, man. But yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I guess. So are you saying Arteta in or out? Because now that I'm starting to kind of feel for Arteta, you're telling me out.
No, I think he needs this season. He needs this January transfer window. If there's positive signs, it's like if we miss out on top four, but play positive football, keep him. If we're sitting there in sixth or seventh and we're like struggling to keep up with people, it's like, yeah, okay, you've had now 3 years. Like I think 3 years is plenty of time for a manager to have made enough of an impact on a team to actually have done something. And if Arteta does go, I would like a manager that has won a title. Just a title winning manager that they know what it takes to win a title.
Who would be available, do you think? And like, I don't even know. I think that's the problem with a lot of teams right now, bro. They need managers and there's not managers out there that are willing to take those jobs.
There'll be. Do you think Arsenal made a mistake with the Spanish dude? What was his name?
Spanish dude. Emery?
Emery. Oh, man, like he was too stubborn, man. He wanted us to play out the back when we didn't have people that could pass the ball, right? And he's like, it doesn't matter, still play out the back. And it's like, look, you got to work with what you got a little bit, right? You know, I don't know. It's one of those ones where it's like, you don't necessarily have to punt it long. But you also don't have to necessarily straight away just play it short. Like, because every time we got a goal kick, for example, it was almost like a set piece, like a proper set piece. It was like, all right, let's set the team up. You guys go into your positions. Why not goal kick, put the ball down and quickly play on? Why does it have to be like, all right, let's take 30 seconds to set this goal kick up?
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, all right, we know what you're going to do now.
Yeah.
So we're just, you know, and so Yeah, so Emery had his positives, but he was just way too stubborn.
Did they give him enough money and enough time, though? That's the question. I feel like, I don't know, man. Arteta, I don't know if Arteta's the guy or not, man. We'll see. He's doing a little bit better with these younger guys. So like you said, I think I want Arsenal to be good, man. I feel like I'm over here the only one being negative towards Arsenal. I actually is the only Prem team. I don't have a team in the Prem, but I actually want to see him do good. I don't like seeing Arsenal, you know, finish mid-table, 10th or whatever, and struggling. I actually want them to do good. The problem is I don't know. We'll see what happens in January, bro. If they can actually pick up some people and get some things going in the summer, we'll see. But I don't know.
Someone's going to get blessed with Ajax's coach, man. I don't know what team it is in the world, but that's a coach, man. I don't know if y'all pay attention to Ajax, dude. That guy is serious, man.
Yeah. You think it's him, or do you think it's just the culture at the team, bro?
No, dude, you don't do...
Because they play kind of the same as always, no?
No, you do not go...
They sold their top three players. Yeah. Dude, they took an Allaire who was washed, and he's Champions League top scorer and smashing it, man. Like
this is the same manager that would have went to the final, right? If it wasn't for that crazy comeback with Spurs.
Yeah, the 3-2. Yeah, Lucas's last minute goal. Yeah,
last minute goal. Not only that, you know how hard it is to put up 6 wins in the Champions League group when you have Dortmund in your group and Sporting's been playing well, but most importantly, Dortmund. Not only that, you score 20 goals and suffer 5. Send that guy to Benfica, dude. I want that coach in my life, man. Like that's a coach, dude. Like he loses his best players year after year and just continues to just dominate with them. I don't know. Someone's getting him, dude. And I don't know if he'll be United, because I think this guy might pan out at United. The guy that's there now, the new dude that came in. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, they seem to like him. Didn't Man United draw again today?
Yeah, but they played nobody. Right, they played like a team that was like
they
were through already, so they threw in Greenwood, Mata, Lingard. You know what I mean? Like, there's not one. Luke Shaw is probably the
manager that played at United.
Matic played center back.
Yeah, Matic center back.
Yeah, it was a completely second team, and they still didn't lose. So
the guy United doesn't stay. Like, he's there for 6 months, and then he becomes the, I don't know what it is, but like he's going to give advice to the team.
Okay, but he could stay.
I don't know. Maybe he does, but he could.
I know he becomes part of the board. I don't know if they allow him to stay, but maybe they're already talking to the Ajax guy. Anyways, we're moving to FIFA. We got to move to FIFA. We already spent $30 million talking about Neps Arsenal, and we're going to have them crying here soon. Guys, remember one more time to check out Keeps. We'll talk about them a little bit later, man. But if you want anything, if your hair, you start to notice a little bit of hair thinning, make sure to check out Keeps, man. And make sure you get your hair to stop falling out. Now, we move on to FIFA. And
Keeps.com/stick.
Yeah, so I uploaded a video today kind of ranting. I got to read the comments, and I put the video before this because I wanted to read the comments. Yesterday, I did a poll in my stream of who enjoyed FIFA, like this setup of FIFA, weekend league and stuff. It was like 60% said yes, and a lot of people said no. And I started to come to an understanding that this EA is actually doing what the new generation of gamers want. And I think the old heads and the pro players are having a hard time seeing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like for example, in my video, I complained about leaks. People said they loved it.
I hate leaks, bro.
Hold on.
I talked about the reward change, and I said, 20 games is perfect, but why couldn't they keep the other rewards so you could still feel like you were accomplishing something and not getting Mickey Mouse's wins? People said they liked the Mickey Mouse wins and they liked the rewards right away, and they liked this reward system. So everything I said, people were like, no, we like this.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the leagues. How can you like that?
The funniest thing for me, like, and I don't want to step on anyone's toes or anything, right? I don't want to say anything out of tone or anything, but did you see a couple of days ago on Twitter that leakers were getting pissed at leakers for leaking?
Yeah.
One guy got so upset that somebody else leaked the information before him, and it, like, they just had all out war, and it was just hilarious, man. I've never seen anything like it.
So it's one of those things where
how can you get mad for doing the same exact?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's tough.
People are getting mad at each other as if this is like a career path thing. Like,
and there was something to be said though about like what leaking does is it actually tarnishes opportunities for genuine concept graphic designers. There's a lot of graphics guys that have made their name from putting out concepts and things of like a promo or a card that might come or something that's, you know, maybe something you've heard, and they get a lot of likes and retweets and a lot of exposure from that, which could actually help with their career. When somebody leaks the whole team, it's like if a concept guy then goes and puts, oh, how cool would this be? And someone's like, oh, it's not going to be him because we know who he is. He's not going to get likes and clicks and retweets. So it does have an impact in that kind of economy like that. But for me personally, the one thing I will say about the leaks, right, is that EA, they know they have to be facilitating this, because why on earth does somebody know the team a week before?
Because someone, for example, like my old graphic designer, has done graphic work for EA Sports, does it very often for them. So if they hit him up because they're paying an outsource, so they don't have somebody on their actual books where they're paying a graphic guy that works for EA Sports, they're letting it out to what's that called, a freelancer, right?
Yeah.
Freelancer to work for them. And that person tells their best friend, and I'm not saying this is what happened, I don't know if my graphic guy made that, like my old graphic, I don't know that. I'm just saying, but that person tells their best friend, and now it's the leak. And this is on EA to stop this though, no?
Yeah. Dude, I used to have a guy that used to watch me that worked in a printing shop that printed all of the promo stuff for EA. So he's like, I just know it, like way before it comes. But they have to like it. Because it creates hype, it creates chatter, it creates, when somebody gets leaked, like for example, on Wednesday, when Twitter blew up with people arguing over leaks, EA weren't sitting there going, oh no, everyone knows, because no one, in the grand scheme of things, no one knows. But the only people that know are the people, the little echo chamber of Twitter users and maybe some YouTube users and stuff. But you know, there's millions of people play this game. But what EA love is the fact that it's getting so much discussion, so just so much like airtime. And so they love the fact that it gets leaked. I personally don't particularly like it, but I also don't particularly care. I don't know. I don't really use it to my advantage. Like we could, you know, if we, I used to be the guy that I would know before anyone else. I would just have people DMing me in my streams, in my videos. Hey, this is coming. That's coming. This is coming. I'd be like, that's so sick. I'm not that guy anymore that gets that information. Like time has moved on. I'm just haven't got my ear to the ground. I haven't like made enough like moves, I guess, to keep people that are in that circle in my DMs. We could make so many coins off of knowing what's coming earlier. I remember I used to know who the Premier League player of the month was like 4 days before they came. And that was back when you used to need the old, a special card of that player. So I would sit there and I would go and buy like 10 special Lukakus, knowing for a fact that he would be required, make so much money, and it benefited me.
Yeah.
But there is another like, you know, side to things where We could benefit from leaks massively, but for me, I don't know, I'm at that stage now where I'm like, I want to switch the game on at 6 o'clock and be surprised with what's there, not be me like, too. Let me switch this on to see this card that's coming that I already knew about 3 days ago.
Me too.
See, that's where I think the problem is. I think people enjoy the leaks because they know they can make coins, right? Like, I think it's all about coins now when it comes to FIFA and the people that trade. I think people enjoy the game when it comes to menu stuff. I don't think people enjoy the gameplay, and the only thing that's pushing them right now is how they can make coins. So the leaks for me, I hate them. I'm not surprised anymore. I know exactly what's coming. It's not as exciting, I think, is the problem for me when it comes to the leaks. And I would like to be excited when I turn. There's not much to be excited about when you turn on FIFA when it comes to gameplay stuff. But like, I want to be excited for the new stuff that's coming. But when you know that we're going through the promo right now, right? Team in the group stage, and we already know what's happening with the freeze. Like, we don't know, but we know, right? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
we know. They showed the cards already.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
They showed the cards, the stats, the week for upgrades, the skill move upgrades, the whole lot, man. And I tried my best.
Have you seen it, Nat?
Dude, not only have I seen it, man, I'm literally, whilst I was saying to my stream earlier today, hey guys, I really don't want to know about leaks. Like, I've seen already three cards, like, because I just couldn't not. I don't want to know about, as I'm saying that, some guy donates, you know, 100 stars. Hey man, here's a new feature of this new promo that's coming. What do you think about this? And then he just ruins the whole promo for me. And I'm like, I'm literally saying, don't tell me. And it's one of those text-to-speak donos. So now everyone hears it.
The craziest part is, that they use the same guy. The same guy. Like, I'm not going to say a name. I don't want to royal people listen, but they use the same big player from last year that everybody used again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's mad to me. Like, I don't know. I'm a little bit, you know what I mean? But again, here's the understanding I got from my YouTube video and from my stream is that I'm not enough attached with this new audience. And I got to get there because there's a new wave, and the new wave that's happening in life right now is have everything right now. Right? Like right now is life, right? When you go on Amazon, when you want something right now, and what these young gamers want is everything right now. Rewards right when their games are done. The satisfaction right now. That's what they want.
Yeah.
I said in my video today, and people didn't like it when I said it, but I'll say it again. And I need to learn to adapt with this and move on because that's not a thing no more. There is no punishment to losing in this FIFA.
No
consequence.
No.
Dude, people still play like rats, man.
Yes. Yep. You lose.
Oh, the biggest rats, bro.
You lose in weekend league, you're still getting packs. You lose in rivals, you can't get relegated. The only place that it matters that you lose is a draft, and that's the one that's probably the least sweatiest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this is supposed to mimic real life football, right? And I'm just with quotation marks here when I say this. So what are these things are called? This is supposed to be a simulation of real life. In real life, every football game you play matters.
Yeah. Right.
In FIFA, every football game you play doesn't matter. It may be qualifiers because there's a lot of people who still can't qualify. But FIFA just doesn't matter whether you win or lose. But people love that. And that's where I'm detached from this new audience, bro.
It's because they grew up on the whole, like, everybody gets rewarded no matter what.
I don't even think it's that, bro. People like life to be easy.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I like life to be easy, but I like to also compete. So we should like this. Like, I don't know. The system that they have is a lot more relaxing, I'm going to be honest with you, than the old system. For somebody that was like trying to get top 100 every single week for you, I know it sucks for you, but I literally turn on my games. I finish my games in like 3-4 hours and I'm done. Like I turn off, I don't have to even think about weekend league. Qualifying is pretty easy for me and all that good stuff. But
both of you guys, you couldn't tell me those old FIFAs you thought, man, damn, I want to get top 100.
Yeah, no, my goal 100.
Yeah, and that
was never good enough, but I wanted to.
But yeah, everybody wanted to.
At least you had that. What is there this year?
Nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. But like, it's also a case of like, look, I haven't seen the prices of the team of the week yet this week. But did you see the team of the week for this week?
Oh, it's awful.
Dude, look at the cards you're playing for, man.
Yeah, like, no, it's bad. It's bad, mate. It's bad. Like, it's bad.
You could give me two of those ultimate team of the week packs, and I could go 100-0, and I still wouldn't care for this team of the week because it's pathetic.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even play for this team of the week. I'm going to be honest with you. I always play just for the promo, for the promos. That's it.
You got Coleman at 130K, Silver at 95K, and Henderson at 22K, and then everybody else's discard price.
It's mad.
Everybody else.
It's mad, dude. It's because they won't put promos in team of the weeks. Even if it was old promos or something going into rewards, it would be something better. I think for me, as you know, AA9 skills and doing this for 11 years, I've come to a point in my career where I got to reset. It is. But I laid in bed last night after reading everything, seeing everything, and I thought to myself, for the last 5 years, I've been competing to get top 100, and it's my channel's been so rotated around gameplay, and that's gone. And it's time to adjust.
Unless EA starts next year adjusting back to gameplay. Like, let's be real. Do you guys actually enjoy playing FIFA? Like, I'm asking the both of you. Do you like turning on FIFA to play the game? Not the menu bullshit, the gameplay.
Listen, we're like, what, 3 months, 3.5 months into this game, right?
Yes.
If you would have asked me that question month one, month two, and month three, I would have said yes. But something over this last 2 or 3 weeks, something has changed. Something. I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, all of a sudden, this meta has emerged of drop back, counter attack with 5-star skillers, and you just fucking wall roll scoop your way down the field and then use a broken shooting mechanic to score, whether it be the finesse shot from the top of the box or the chip shot inside the box that the keepers can't save. And it's just like, man, we've just gone back to FIFA 21 again.
Yeah,
it's just not fun anymore.
So my answer is yes, but only because I hate every other game. right? It's not, that's it, like, it's like, you, I have nothing else, right? It's like, all right, man, do you want to eat chicken again today? Was there any other options? No, chicken. You got nothing else. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll eat it then, right? Because I don't like COD. I don't like Halo. I don't like these games. There's no other football game. What am I going to do? Play Madden? Madden's in a worse state than these content creators over there are asking for EA, for anybody to come in and take, like, they're asking NFL to drop EA. From yeah, that's how bad Madden is, bro. You can't even play a career mode on Madden without the game freezing every 5 minutes.
Hold on, what now? Repeat that one more again. I haven't heard about this.
Madden creators are like making petitions and trying to get, not petitions, but like they like always tweeting about how they want NFL to drop NFL to drop EA because they think FIFA dropped EA. That's not what happened. But now they're asking for the NFL to drop Madden. It's mad, bro. It's a whole. It's a disaster. I think the pandemic was the worst thing ever for EA Sports. I think they made a lot of money, but I think they kind of lost themselves in because it looked for a while like FIFA was going in a pretty good direction, man. With like content. It looked like it was going good. But my thing for me, and this is where people don't understand, my thing for me is I hate having something and you take it. Like first it started with Icon and monthly packs. A long time ago, you took that. Rewards were away. You took that. 1 year they gave us SBCs and drafts. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Remember then next year they did it for like a day. It was like a special day where you get it and then that was it.
And then they took it from us. It's like you give us a little bit of ice cream and then, oh, you can't have it for the rest of your life. And they take it away. And it's like, bro, and now I'm at a point in my like career and stuff with FIFA where it's, okay, you know what? Look, take a second, reset. And start again. Myself and Nep made our communities off of no content.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Like off of just doing like, you know, career mode videos and I'm gonna go back to that type of stuff. I just the reset it, Nep, how hard is it, bro?
Oh, it's impossible because what you're doing isn't just resetting for you. Like the audience that is still there for you, some of those guys aren't gonna like what you change to, so they're gonna leave. And then you got to fight for the new audience to actually watch the new content.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been around for so long. And this is what you said yesterday on your stream. And I completely agree. I've been around so long now.
Yeah.
If I do something new, it's not, oh, damn, who's this content creator trying something new? It's, oh, Nep's out of ideas.
Yeah.
He's trying something new. And it's like that people were so, they expect us to be the certain way.
Yeah.
So that if we try something different, they actually negatively react to it.
Yeah. It's the same as people have been. This is the honest truth. I'll be honest with you. B-Ford Lance, you're killing it out there. Love you, brother.
He's doing
your thing. Absolutely.
Mad beast.
So you're doing great content. So my viewers have been asking me to bring back my GTA cutscenes with career mode. And I haven't done it yet. You know why? Because they're gonna say I copied B-Ford.
Yeah.
Even though I was the one that started it within the FIFA. Right. But they don't know that because that was 11 years ago.
Yeah, they went around then, yeah.
Right, so if I go to it, now I'm the copycatter. If I do a video where I qualify for the weekend league with the all gold team, I copied hashtag Harry.
Yeah.
If I do something like you copied Danny. So it's one of those things where it's like, yo, we've been around for so long where when you try to change, it's really difficult. But I think change is the only way now because I don't think that I think there's a small amount of us now, bro, that really care about playing FIFA.
I don't think anybody really cares, bro.
No, I think there's still people that cares. There's still people that care. People who show up to a daily Road to Glory, they care.
Yeah. They care. As you was looking at yesterday, and what was really interesting for me was your stream yesterday when you said, what do you think a good FIFA video is right now? They were like 100K. And I was like, damn, that's like a little ego boost for me because I'm hitting 100K. So they think I'm a big YouTuber, but you was looking at all the Road to Glories. No one does 100K on Road to Glories now.
No, I'm the
closest. Last year, I was hitting 200K plus on a second channel. Now I can't even get like 50K. It's crazy. No,
there's one. Shout out to Run the Foot Market Nick. His just started. He's two episodes.
Give it another month.
He's smart. And Run the Foot Market Nick. I know you'll hear this. I want to say, you, my friend, are a fucking genius. And I've been telling this for a long time, Nep. And the reason I'm going to tell you he's a genius because he's keeping his Road to Glory to 12 days. It's genius.
12-day RTG.
I think it's a 12-day or it's like a December. And I what did I say to you last year, Jay? I said Road to Glories now should restart every month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally what I'm doing with my holiday edition, bro. I'm doing 31 months of RTG and then done.
31 months. 12. Damn, you're dedicated, bro.
Hey, look.
I said 31 days. Sorry. I don't know if I said months.
12 days of Ratmus. And I take my hat off to run the foot market, Nick, because I said I was going to do this. Right. I even told people in the beginning of my RTG, I said, yo, my RTG will run until Black Friday, and then I'm putting money into it. Because it's one of those things, Nep, where it's like, bro, like, unless you're a hardcore FIFA player, you just don't care.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. But then that's where, the amount of times I've said to my viewers, all right, this year, guys, I'm going to do, like, a new Road to Glory at the start of every season. Right, so when a new season of FIFA starts, a new Road to Glory, we'll see what we get at the end of it. We'll do a new Road to Glory... or on, you know, I don't know, like a 1 week RTG. We'll do a 24-hour RTG, see what you can get in 24 hours. I was like, yeah, we're going to do all this cool stuff. We'll do a gameplay-only RTG for 2 weeks to shut the people up thinking that you need to spend time and money on this game. We'll do an SBC-only RTG, a BPM RTG. Oh, yeah, this is so sick. But then when it comes to it, and here's my biggest problem, is I, for some really bizarre reason, get so emotionally attached to the players in my club that I can't bear to start again, even if it means I get more views and more likes and more clicks, just for losing that kind of connection with this team that I've spent the time building.
RPG in the beginning, though, imagine you do a season one, right? I just started this one that I'm doing, day 7 or day 8, whatever it is right now. If you have to redo, like, bro, I started on a Wednesday, and I have done everything, qualify for weekend league, did weekend league, I stopped at rank one, division 4 in from Wednesday to Saturday. Okay. I sat on the game. Like, if you had to do that every single season, you would literally, like, it's just too much to be honest.
You would love it probably, but
I don't know, man, that's a lot to do in that short amount of time, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
So here's my thing, right? Nep, you were watching my stream, right? I went through everybody's RTG, and shout out to the amazing RTGs out there. And I want everybody to understand that getting over freaking 5,000 views on YouTube, you are a big YouTuber, dude. You know what I'm saying? That's a big deal, dude. I want people to understand that shit. But when you look around the community, and I would say that, like, an actual RTG, not spending money, Manny spends money, so he's more of like a review, big teams. It's a money Manny team, you know what I'm saying? Outside of that, my RTG might be the biggest at like 80, 90, 100K an episode, but it struggles to do that. You know what I'm saying? You have Elasti doing it. You have Boris doing like 78s, and Nep, you're doing your thing. Like, but that's the cap for RTGs, because that's the cap of people who care about the game.
Actual game.
But the problem here is what you said, Nep. We are more invested in this video game than we are in the content that, like, we just assume that people should like the content that we're enjoying, because we enjoy doing this type of stuff on RTG, that our viewers will roll with that. But the truth is, there's so much awesome FIFA content now that type of content is just not it. It's just not good enough.
This is why I've made a video on my Road to Glory channel kind of talking about our Road to Glory is just dead because of, like, you know, my views are so low comparative to where they were last year.
Yeah.
And I one of the things I kind of like talked about with myself, I guess, because it was just on a video or whatever, is that now there are so many niche content creators. The things people used to go to Road to Glory's for are now covered individually by other content creators. Like, there is a Bronze Pack YouTuber. His whole content is around Bronze Packs, which means nobody comes to the Road to Glory anymore to check out how I'm doing Bronze Pack Method or how this is going or how that's going, because there's a guy that's already covered that niche.
Yeah.
The same with a tactics guy. And now there's a tutorials guy. And now there's a trading guy. Now these TikTok guys. And so all these niches kind of take the portion of viewers away. Like, let's say I get 100,000 viewers and only 5,000 of them are there every day because they want to watch me do Bronze Pack stuff. Then somebody comes along, like, hey, I'm going to be dedicated to Bronze Pack stuff. Mm-hmm. Those 5,000 viewers are now going to be like, oh yeah, let me go check out this guy. And that's not like assault or anything. It's just the way the cycle goes, you know, and we'll adapt and overcome, or we won't and we'll fail, right? But it's just crazy now, if you look at how many content creators there are and how many successful content creators there are, even in, like, a Road to Glory's were already niche content that have been further divulged into further niche content. Like, you are just fighting against, more than anything, like, being first on everything.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's what it is. Yeah,
that's what it is.
And you gotta be day, first, otherwise this, you're screwed. I'm not gonna lie to you.
This is what I want people to understand. This was the whole point of this. People look at this and think FIFA's dying. But FIFA's not. This is probably the biggest the FIFA community's been outside of when JJ was here.
Yeah.
When Nep and I were at like doing the 200-300s, there was me, Nep, Tusink, Matt, Castro. Yeah. Bateson was doing pretty damn good at that
Fangs
time.
Fangs was doing good for a while. Yeah.
AJ was doing good. But now you look around, you got so many people doing over 50Ks into the hundreds, into the 200s, into the 300s. This is, it's actually big. The difference is people don't want content based off the like the game. They want unique content that you're making, putting time and effort into, and then making that content. The problem is, and I think this is where a big thing is, if you're not a pack guy or someone giving a lot of information, I think this is where it's you're really going to struggle to live stream and do YouTube.
And I was just about to say the same to you. If you look at the people that are successful on YouTube, they are not successful streamers, or they just don't stream a lot.
Yep.
And then the people that are super successful on stream don't do YouTube or aren't successful a lot. And there's a few anomalies. You know, you have got Run the Foot Market Nick that kills it on both. You got Castro that kills it on both. You got you that kills it on both. There's a few anomalies. But generally speaking, if you want to be that guy that's the player review guy, you just don't have time to stream as well, because that's a whole nother dedicated like job. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to, like, I remember like our days, I used to get up. And what I would do when I get up, I'd be like, all right, what video do I want to make today? What am I going to do that's going to be real cool today? And then maybe I talk to my community about it. Maybe we tweet about it. What do we want to see? Maybe it'd be a squad builder, the best team in FIFA, something like that. Maybe it'd be a Draft of Glory episode or just a draft or something. And then I'd spend some hours putting that video together. Sometimes it would go bad, so I'd have to redo the video. You know, sometimes I wanted to win a draft. I didn't want to show people me losing in the first round. Yeah, now I don't have the time to redo the draft. I'm like, this draft mess we're doing is a blessing, because I've got an excuse now if I lose in the first round. Yeah. I don't have to feel bad about that because I've got a team full of crap in there. But if I lose in the first round with a proper team, I sit and I think, I don't want to put that content up there. That's not good enough. I don't have time to redo it. And so it gets tough, man. It gets tough to have to be able to try and do both. But I would love to be able to do, like, give more attention to YouTube. You know what I mean?
But then you're not, you know what it is? It's because FIFA was, people underestimate how good FIFA 19 was, that you could do both successfully.
Yeah.
It was so good. I sat on my stream in 19, and I streamed for 5 hours. You know what I did for 5 hours?
Played the game.
I tried to build a draft for 5 hours. You know how many people had watching me try to build a draft for 5 hours?
Yeah.
4,000 people. Do you know how many people watched that video? 700,000 people then watched a video that I recorded with 4,000 people. Then I went to Castro's house and did the same exact video with him, and it's nearly on a million in FIFA 19. Because that game, drafts were fun. The gameplay was really ass, but at least you could score from far away. So people enjoyed that. It wasn't this park the bus thing. So
Arcady is fun, bro. And I think when people are having fun, more people want to see other people have fun instead of people being angry at the game.
I think the whole point of this game, the reason I'm intertwining the content with FIFA, and we're talking content, we're talking FIFA, is because I think FIFA's boring. And I think most people think FIFA's boring. And I think that nobody in the community take this the wrong way, because I do RTGs. I've been doing RTGs my whole career, FIFA 17. RTGs are boring, old, and outdated.
100% agree with that.
They're boring. And I can officially, I can tell you, I make the content and it's shit. It's not good content because FIFA is boring to normal people. What people do like is that packs are free. You get a lot of packs and they can get a lot of they can get the players for cheaper. They can get the players, dude. But imagine if every game you got on, you got the stuff easy. Would you play the game?
Like, you might for like a couple of days, and then you'd be like I think about, you know, not League of Legends, about Diablo. If you turned on Diablo and within like 5 hours had all of the sets and the highest rolled gear and was demolishing all of the big bosses, you'd be like, okay, I've won the game. What next?
Yeah.
It's the same with FIFA. And it is a case where like Road to Glories are boring. And the reason why they are boring is because it has never been easier. All of it, every aspect of the game. Rivals is the easiest it's ever been. Champs is the easiest it's ever been. Getting players is the easiest it's ever been. Getting packs and coins, it's all too easy.
Yeah.
Which means to do something
that is exceptional and stand out, for example, like in a Road to Glory or something, you need to do something that is going to take you absurd amounts of time. There's nothing in between anymore. You want to impress someone on the Road to Glory? Go and buy a team of prime icon moments that are extinct. That's when somebody will be like, oh, damn, he did that on the Road to Glory. If you see, I've got Vieira on my Road to Glory already. I'm like, what? How many views did that video get? That video got 90,000 views.
How long did that take Vieira. You?
Yeah, it's
like it's just a, like the process was just hours over time, right? It's just doing the SBCs, grinding the icon pack and stuff.
I packed
Vieira 3 years ago on my Road to Glory, that would have got a million views.
I lay in my bed and I watch you stream doing SBCs and I just keep watching. I just sit there and I'm like, why am I watching this still? And I just continue. There's something like fun about watching that.
I don't understand it. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro.
The league SBCs are pretty fun to watch, bro. Like Nep, you were sitting there building them all day, and I sat there the whole time watching it. Like, because even you said it's boring. Like it's a long process but you got Vieira.
Yeah, and I got Messi twice, and I got a few others, and it's cool. But the problem is, and this is a genuine problem, especially for people like you and to a degree myself and Jay, who aren't quite as good as you, but that Foundations team that I built, I can use that until team of the season and still get my 12 wins a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a problem, that's a fucking problem.
Hey,
that's
what I've done. This is our next point. I actually want to talk about this. Someone said, does 90K views pay you a lot? YouTubers never really talk about money, but let me explain something to you, chat. 90,000 views pays you a lot of money. A lot.
Hey, I'm one of those YouTubers. I don't care if people know how much I make, but I feel a responsibility to not necessarily talk about it because it kind of, in a way, exposes what other people make.
When you think that, let me just say this, chat. When you think that we're crying or like we're complaining and like we're dead, when you go to somebody's YouTube channel and you see like 50K and you think they're a dead YouTuber, they're not.
Now, all right, let me ask, obviously for the podcast that's listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and stuff, you guys can't really respond to this, but for your stream right now, how much money do you think I made off of packing Vieira video that got 93,000 views? And it will be mad interesting because anytime I've ever like talked about or shown this sort of stuff on stream, people are literally like, what the f-? Like they just don't understand.
It's a weird one because I don't know how, I have obviously I do this. So I don't know how that channel sells.
So you tell me, how much do you think, Jay, how much do you think 93,000 views got me on that video?
If that was a draft video, I'm saying anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. If it was a draft video, I don't know that.
I'm going to say 3K in dollars, not 3K? Not pounds.
For 93K views? What CPM are you sitting on, dude?
Jesus, I don't know. Dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't make money like that, so I'm assuming y'all are doing all right. Since December on top of that.
Since it's not a draft, I'm going to say 850 pounds.
Like, literally, you are like 89 pence out. It was 849 pounds and 11 pence.
I do this shit, bucko.
I mean, when you see the numbers regularly, I'm sure you knew it.
So in dollars, that's a grand. About a grand. Yeah. So that's a grand. So there you go.
So when people are saying, oh, you're washed or something on 50K views, like they have I've had this year, oh, you're falling off and this and that. I'm like, man, that's my second of three channels.
Yeah.
It's getting the least views.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're doing all
right.
I'll tell you this, chat. I have a channel getting that brand new draft channel just started. It's getting like 10,000 views. Lucky if it gets 20. And that channel's making already like over 3K.
Yeah, it's mad. Yeah.
It's mad. So you might think a YouTube channel's dead at 10,000 views or a channel's not dead. It just depends what the content is, how long people are saying. Draft content pays the most. Bro, if you can get a draft channel on 100,000 a video, you're making like 40, 50K a month.
Yeah, because they're there for the whole time.
Draft videos are the most paying views
in FIFA.
If you have a successful draft channel, bro, you're swimming. Yeah. You're swimming in it. And you know what's crazy? I left that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't do this for money. I got addicted to champions.
You got addicted for champions, and you're addicted to not the I understand that views for you translates to money, but you're like you have a problem with fucking like views, brother.
I do.
I've been telling you this for years. You have a problem. You see your shit lose 10K and you fucking your mind goes like, what the fuck?
Because I don't do it for money. Because I don't do it for money.
No, I know.
Like view count and comments affect my day massively.
Yeah, that's same, man. Much more. Dude, I'm sitting here now and like I was crazy, not depressed in like the clinical term of depressed, but I was like so sad. I was saying to Lauren, like my views this year, like for November, are lower than I can remember in like 5 or 6 years.
Same, it's so bad.
When I checked the statement from Google of how much they paid me, it was only like £4,000 less than last year, this month last year, but the views were literally like a third. And I'm like, do you know what? I might have made almost the same money. Yeah. But it doesn't feel the same. Now, like, it feels shit.
From the bottom of my heart, I told my brother this a couple weeks ago. I ain't going to say the money, but with Twitch and with YouTube, last month was the most money I've ever made in my entire career. And it's the saddest I've ever been with my content.
Yeah.
I read a comment this morning while I was laying in bed. My video went live and I read a comment. The guy's like, oh, another rant video from Skills. And it just fucked me. I was fucked. Yeah. That was it for me. I went to bed sad. I woke up in the morning. I'm like, fuck, man. My viewers hate me. This shit literally fucks with me.
That one negative comment.
This shit fucks with me, bro. Like in a way that it's not even fuck the money, dude. You know what I mean? I've never done this for money. I've done this to make people laugh, smile. You know what I'm saying? And I've been lucky enough to make a lot of money through it all. You know what I mean? But I've never, bro, I can't tell you what's in my bank account. And I've been like that since I started. You know what I mean? Because it's not something that I look at. I just really enjoy like the company of people. You know what I mean? But yo, it's one of those things where it's like, man, I don't know, bro. I just, it's been the saddest I've been because you know what's the saddest for me, dude? Is the stuff that I like, people don't like no more.
Yeah, and I was about to say, man, the biggest thing for me
is
literally the fact that what I love about this game and like, I was thinking to myself, because I've had everything you're talking about now. I mean, we've had some chats recently about this sort of stuff, but we haven't talked too much. But everything I've kind of like been saying to stream or saying to Lauren, I don't make content that I want to make anymore.
Yeah.
Because the content that I want to make, nobody wants to watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I think about the days where I used to do Best Team in FIFA. I loved making that series. Then you know what they want to see now? They want to see I Rate Your Club. Do you know how painful it is making that video? And I had to stop the series and it was, dude, it was killing it for views. It monetized insanely well because everyone just watched the whole video. I would review like 5 or 6 clubs. The viewers loved it because they were getting their clubs reviewed and we was like had some inside jokes and stuff. But I was dying inside, man. And I'm just like, I can't keep doing this. I hate this. I hate making this content.
Yeah, no, it's a tough one. The things I've loved throughout my career the most was career mode and the RTG with the weekend league, right? And I feel they took that shit from me, bro. I feel like I feel lost. I literally feel I make a video and I'm like, man, I feel lost because I just feel like EA has, I don't know, man. I feel like they folded to what everyone said they wanted and what everyone said they wanted made the game boring from preview packs, which are cool in the grand scheme of things, but that's why the market's low. Yep. Weekend league rewards are trash and all you need is 16 wins. That's why weekend league is boring. Everything that we thought we wanted made the game boring. And for a lot of people who missed it, if you ever played the World Cup mode from Russia, it had a peak of a week where views were hitting 500K a video because you could get everything. But then everyone realized, oh, I have everything.
I think this game would have been good.
It's a solid game though, Jay.
No, listen to what I'm saying, bro. You know, like this game could have been good if they didn't do the gameplay would have been good. I know you hated it and pros hated it. If they would have kept the gameplay the way it was. And if they would have kept the gameplay to what it was without these stupid ass patches they've done where like the meta wouldn't be the dropback, the game would actually be enjoyable. And I think more people would watch the content and have menu stuff to play and people would want to play. So the weekend league wouldn't be technically as easy. And I think people would have fun and more people would be on the game.
Yeah.
But they cave to the Twitter and forum guys and the pros and content creators that were talking shit about it.
But the people that cater to like it. And that's where you have to applaud EA Sports. We'll have one more topic and then we'll end it there because we're going to end up talking all day. I don't know if it's because I know how to play FIFA a little bit, but I need to know how you guys feel about this. I changed my team to Lewandowski, super slow, Soleil, whatever his name is in the back, close to my, doesn't matter. I can use any player anywhere. I get the same exact wins. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I change, doesn't change. If I use slower players, faster players. So is this game just like, what I'm trying to say is like, do players matter? Because I'm starting to feel like they don't.
And I will agree. The only time players matter is if you're trying to get top 200 in Rivals. Then you need Ginola. True. You need Mbappe. You need the big icons or the big players, you know. But if you're looking for wherever your skill level is, whether that's 8 wins, 12 wins, or 16 wins.
Right.
If you're just looking for those, it doesn't matter who you use. Dude, do you know who I had? I got my 7. I'm at like, I don't know what your skill rating is in Rivals. Probably way bigger than mine. I'm at like 1,900 now, which for me is the best I've had this year. In my team right now is Ben White, Bukayo Saka, Emil Smith-Rowe, Openda, that striker, and Cornet left-back. They're 5 of my players. And I got 7 wins in 8 games in the Elite Division against Ginolas and against Icons and against Mbappes and Neymars. Because unless you're against a pro who really understands how to manipulate the mechanics of this game, the skill, it's like the skill ceiling to Elite or Rank 1 is like here. And then above that, well, I'm like, for the podcast, I'm putting a theoretical hand up. And then, like, you know, above that, it's like way, way, way higher. Yeah. There's the casual skill gap is tiny that you can use anyone.
So is this the smallest pay to win game ever?
Yeah.
Because I get better stats with Lewandowski than R9.
Yeah. But if you face against, you know,
but if I went into Rivals, I couldn't. If I went into, So I'm at like 2,000 skill rating type shit. So if I go into there and I'm playing those guys in the NA with Lewandowski and I match like Hectic Jukes or one of those pros,
Then you're going to struggle. Yeah, right. Exactly.
But
dude, isn't that a problem? Because now what's the point of team of the year? Because having those players, you can't get 25 wins with those players because it's 16 is where it's capped. It doesn't matter if you get 16 or 20.
Well, that's what I said in my video.
I agree with that, bro. Like, the players don't matter. I see it with the foundation cards I have. Some of the better cards that I've used are the cards that, dude, my team is garbage. Let's be honest, on my other account as well. Like, I'm using Red Yannick and, like, I have Renato and Llorente and my back line is meta as shit, but like my front guys are nothing and I get the wins pretty easily. I think I'm 18 something in Elite right now. I barely even play. I only play for the 7 wins and then I stop because I don't see the point in it, honestly, but I feel like anybody, dude, it doesn't matter. It, like, if you're not competing for the top, it doesn't matter. Even on an RTG, you can get, I don't know, an objective card and it could be just as good. And I think that's the biggest problem in the game is you having an R9 doesn't matter unless you are the top 1%.
Even smaller than that, I'd say.
But I think the reason to why it doesn't matter, and I bring it to this point, is the game plays for you. So it doesn't matter what players you have. It's too assisted.
Dude, you know what I saw today? I don't even know. I haven't tested this out myself or anything, but this blew my mind, man. And this goes again back to things where I was saying, like, I used to have my ear on the ground for stuff like this, right? Somebody tweeted me and tagged me in a, you know, Neil's Guides?
Mm-hmm.
Tagged me in like a video from him or something from his Patreon or something. And it's him explaining how the Master Switch doesn't work. You know that?
What do you mean?
You know when you go into Champs or Rivals, it puts the Master Switch on and it turns all the settings off.
Huh?
If you go out of the game and go to the settings, turn the Master Switch off, put the settings how you want, and then turn the Master Switch back on, it says they're all off, but it keeps it exactly as it was, which means assisted jockeying. The pros, they've been using that in Rivals, and they just didn't say shit. Assisted headers, they've been using that. Assisted crossing or what's the other one? The contextual agile dribbling, they've been using that. And they just all kept it quiet. Because it benefited them greatly because the game was quite literally playing it for them. I'm not saying that I'd win it or anything like that, but they've been using this like assisted settings and they've all just kept it stream. Normally I'd hear about that, but I just heard about it today for the first time, and that blew my mind.
You know what else people are using? And I was going to make a video on it, but I didn't want to ruin the game. If you put like forward runs, get in behind, and then off a kickoff, hold the ball, it's going to force the other guy's back line to always track your striker.
Yeah, exactly, track your striker. I'm getting that a lot lately.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All you got to do is, so I've talked to my stream, but I told them about it. All you got to do is hold the ball off of kickoffs. Make sure you have, sometimes you have to have the forward run thing on it. Otherwise it glitches to where the center back chases the striker. No matter if he runs to China,
he'll run all the way outside of the line.
The back line follows him to China.
I'm going to tell you three broken things in this game right now. That if you watch my streams or my videos, you'll see them all the time. And if you don't, this might be news to you. First of all, finesse shots, you don't even have to time them. Finesse shots off of the lateral heel to heel flick on weak foot, strong foot, or anything from anywhere from like 20 to 35 yards, just always go in. Man. Because when you do the lateral heel to heel, the goalkeeper takes a step forward for some reason. I don't know. So you just finesse it in. That's number one, right? Number two, chip shots are unbroken in the box. Keepers don't save them, and they just loft over the keeper in the box. As long as you're actually facing the goal, it will go in basically every time. And the third one is the pop, the little R3. If you're just on an angle in the box, press R3 and pop the ball up, the defenders lock off of the ball. So you just walk behind. You have easy chances in the goal.
Right? Unbelievable. Now,
and not including the glitchy thing. Like, it's not, it's like 70%. We all have been doing it. I'm sure you've been doing it. The glitch off the corners, bro. Come on.
You pass it off, back post, automatically goes in.
It's literally just broken mechanics, and the problem that they don't fix, or the stuff they should fix, they don't. And then we're stuck with broken shit all year.
But thank God that stuff is broken, because otherwise you'd be playing against people with auto blocks the whole year, though.
And that's the thing. That's what I was going to say, right? The biggest problem specifically for me, and you do this like a billion times better than me, because I just can't get my head around it, is I just manual defend all the time. I can't help it. I've almost tried to burn it into my brain. Just leave my defenders alone. And you leave your defenders alone until it's necessary. Mm-hmm. I switch into my defenders immediately. So I'm still prone to losing games I should win, because I know all of the meta crap offensively, but I'm horrific defensively. Whereas you got it tied down defensively, it's a lot better. So if you're that kind of guy that doesn't defend and lets your AI defend for you, specifically lower skill players, knowing one or two of these offensive exploits will genuinely, like, people that say to me, "Oh, Nep, I can't qualify, it's so hard." Shut the hell up, man. I could do that with like a silver team, and I'm me. You know what I mean? Like, it's so easy, because all you have to do is learn one or two offensive broken mechanics and you'll just wipe the floor with people.
Strut back, don't touch your defense, and use broken mechanics.
The corner glitch works lovely, bro. I do think there's people that still qualify, can't qualify, because you have to remember there's a lot of people who come into the game this year. And I feel for them, because this is probably one of the hardest FIFAs. It's hard to score a goal, man.
If you don't abuse the broken mechanics.
How are you supposed to know to abuse the mechanics if you're new to the community?
And that's the problem with
this game. I think to myself, of people that don't know about the broken mechanics, how do you pick this game up and go, "Oh, wow, this is good"?
Yeah.
That's where I don't see it. You guys
say neither.
The casuals like this.
If I do a poll right now, they're going to tell you they like the game.
The community, right? The community knows what's broken, knows what they're doing. I'm talking about the new guys. I just picked this game up off of the store, and I go into a weekend league game. Dude, I went up through the divisions. Is it mad easy?
That people don't go directly into Foot Champs when they buy this game. They go directly into career mode, and that's where EA gets bailed out. Your first thing is not going to go into Ultimate Team. You know what I'm saying? But the big thing about it, though, is I think it's pretty crazy that you can throw any center backs in the back and still pick up whatever. Like, if your wins were four wins, you'll still get four wins even if you change your team.
Yeah.
Like, mine's 16, right? So if I went into weekend league right now with the all gold team, I guarantee you I get 16 wins. If I go in with a silver team, I guarantee you I get over 8. I would put $10,000 that I get over 8.
Yeah.
Because,
this is the craziest thing about this game this year, though, right? I had two people in my stream last weekend. Both of them were trying to give away all 20 wins to get the rewards. One of them finished on 9 wins, and the other one finished on 11 wins.
Mickey Mouse tried to give away all of the games.
I'm not going to lie. I tried to give away games on the RTG because I was like, all right, the team's not good enough. I'm just playing for 8. I got to 8, and I tried to give... I got two gifted games, bro. I was like, why did I try hard in those other games if I'm just going to get the wins anyway?
When you're trying to give away games and you get to a negative ELO, the people that you're playing against are also on a negative ELO because they're trying to give away games. Yeah. So when you're in a negative elo, the likelihood is you're just going to match against someone who's throwing. So you're going to end up winning.
It's crazy, bro. It's crazy, bro. That's why I'm saying that. I'm not saying I can get silver because I'm a good player. I'm saying you get to get to 8 wins. If I win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, I'm going to be handed wins. I'm going to get to 8.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what, no matter 100%. What team I use, I'm going to get there, bro. That's why I'm telling. I went to Lewandowski. I went to a team, no meta cards, bro. And Lewandowski, like 40 goals for me. I get 16 wins.
Is Lewandowski like Ronaldo where you just shoot and it goes in?
Nah, he's better.
Because I feel like he'd be automatic, bro.
This dude's like R9. This guy scores everything you shoot. He's ridiculous. He's crazy good. But nah, anyways, we got to end. It's been an hour, 30 minutes. Nep got to go feed his kids. They got, you know what I'm saying? Like, this podcast got to come to an end. But the last thing we'll leave it at is, are kids different now? Because I don't know. I don't have kids yet. And I don't know if the younger...
They're massively different, yeah.
Okay, but like...
Listen, my daughter's 6. What was you doing at 6 years old? Do you even remember?
Playing with Legos. Like a Lego or WWF character or something. Right?
Like, my son watches his iPad. She watches her iPad. They're watching these like TV shows. They've got these toys, man. Like, they've literally got like the surprise box toys. Like, the world is just different now, man.
But let me ask you a question. If they go to the field... As like a young dude, or do you still have that ego in you that wants to beat that other guy 1v1 in basketball, or is that gone in the kids?
Oh, I think mine are too young for that. But that's
my question to all my like 12 to like 15, 16 year olds. Is that still there for y'all? Because like when I get in FIFA, I don't want a Mickey Mouse win, dog. I want to beat you. You know, I want to win. I want to get my 16. Fucking like, damn, I'm nice. But now I get to 16, I'm like, hey, chat, I got 16 wins. In the back of my head, I'm like, I got 6 free ones.
Yeah. I found myself having to like almost like protect myself when I've nobody's even said anything, right? Like the weekend before, I got 15 wins.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I got rank 2 guys. And then one guy was like, oh, didn't you like just miss out on rank 1? I was like, yeah, I got 15, but like 3 of them were given to me. And I was like, almost like, I didn't actually get 15 wins. Like, I'm not that good. Yo, I got given some.
Two, three weekends ago, I had my big R9, my big team, R9, everybody. And I get to like, there's 6 games remaining and I can only lose 1 game. And I was like, people said, what's your record? I was like, damn, I'm not going to tell them. This is embarrassing. I'm not going to get 16. I was having the worst weekend ever. Next thing you know, I get handed 3 wins. I just got to win 3 now. Or just 2 or some shit. I had to win 2. I get the 2 wins. I'm like, I'm fucking nice. I'm like, yo, look at this. I'm sick. Everybody's like, yeah, Skills, you got 16. I was like, oh my God, if they didn't Mickey Mouse me, I wasn't getting fucking 16, mate. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think the record matters because of that bullshit anymore, dude.
If they didn't Mickey Mouse me, I was Mickey. People like, damn, Skills, you got 16 every week and you're fucking nice, man. I'm like, nah, dude. Like, if they didn't Mickey Mouse me, nah, I'm exposing myself. I wouldn't have got that shit, bro. I was awful, dude. And someone said stream privileges. No,
it happens to everybody.
You get more Mickey Mouse wins when you're not streaming.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, dude, 100%. This is a fact, right? I had a guy today. I had a guy this weekend. I went 1-0 up. He had a super sweat team, Ginola, all of those guys, right? He pulls it back to 1-1, then pauses it and quit. Right? He worked hard to get it back to 1-1. He was sweating it and then pauses it and quit. I messaged him some like little emoji afterwards, as if to say like, what the hell? He messaged me, because you're in a Panthers fanboy. I was like, all right, I'm not, but okay. And then he realized it was me. He was like, oh, I'm really sorry, bro. Like, I just didn't want to sweat it out. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you just give me the win then? Why did you sweat it out to get the draw
and not give the win? That annoys me, bro. Like, I don't like gifted wins, right? Like, I feel like I'm mixed with it. Like, when I need it, right? But like, tying it just to fucking quit is annoying.
Here's the thing though, Jay, right? This past weekend, I put out my best team. And I got handed 1 free win, and it was after I couldn't get the next rank, so it didn't matter. The weekend before, I had my foundations team, and I got like 4 free wins, right? And in my stream, people are saying, if I match up against a sweat squad, I'm not giving a free win. I'll either play the game out, or I'll like back out a nil-nil, because I had four people back out a nil-nil. But if you play with a weak squad, they're like, oh, this guy needs a win.
My Lawandowski. I'm going to
give him a win. Help him out.
My
exactly.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
They saw my Lawandowski. Said, oh, Pobrecito has Lawandowski striker. Have the win. And I'm like, oh, shit, thanks, mate. Yo, that's the trick. Hey, that's the trick to the
RPG. If you had your R9 there, he would have been like, this guy doesn't need a win. Fuck that. I'm out. Like,
if I started an RTG right now, I swear you're going to be gifted so many wins.
I'm making two teams. Hey. I don't care. I'm putting a shit team when I need wins and then see if I can get wins at the end, bro.
My last game of this weekend league, I went in with a bronze team. The other guy had a bronze team. We were fighting to see who was going to get the win. We're like, hey, you have it. He was like, nah, bro, you take it. I'm giving it back and forth. Like, man, you can have it, bro. We're like both sitting there trying to fucking figure out who's taking the game. Dude, put a bad team in, they give you that shit, bro. They're like, oh, this guy can't afford nothing. Let me give him a win. They feel bad. Nah, and then you got your R9 hidden on the reserve or some shit, man. Hey, guys, man. Listen, man, this has been the episode of Stick Talk, man. At the end of the day, boys, FIFA's still popping. FIFA's still good. FIFA's still a great game. It's just changing, bro. I know for myself, Nappy, my brother, we've been around for so long that it's just different to see this change that's happening. And it's taking a little bit, at least for me, it's taking a little bit longer for me to adapt to the change.
Same.
Yeah, but with all that
being said. But I'm old, man. I'm 37. I'm old, man.
Oh, damn, dude. You older than me. Let's go.
My girl walked up to me last night and said, babe, let's have a kid. And I said, Jose, let's. But then we remembered very quickly that we have a wedding in a few months and she has to wear a dress. Otherwise, man, I'm ready now. Just get these kids and, you know,
you just want to start popping them out. I think you probably want the fun to have the kids, not actually have the kids. Who knows?
Hey, man. Nah, there's nothing else to get top 100 in, man. You know what I mean?
I'm done, dude.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen. FIFA could be stressful and your hair could fall from the stress. But Keeps can help you keep it. Fellas, if you're ready to take action and keep your hair, head over to keeps.com/stick. All right? 1 month free. Start putting this product in your hair and you won't look like me. I'm rhyming accidentally. You won't look like Benzema.
That was mental, G. I feel like it was meant to be. It wasn't accidentally.
Oh, snap, man. Head over to keeps.com/stick. Hey, if there's any girls listening, if you notice a little bald spot on your man's head, it's a good Christmas present. Get involved, all right? 1 month free after that. Just a cheeky $10 and you'll start seeing results in just a few months, man. Head over to stick.com.
Also, how are you noticing a bald spot on your man's head? Why is he like that height? You know what I'm saying? I'm just running out there.
You got to give love to the short guys out there, I guess. I don't know.
For some reason, I'm picturing Castro.
We love you, Castro.
Hey, one day we'll have Pat Costa on the podcast, man. Hey, guys, listen, man. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Stick Talk. As always, make sure to check out Nepenthes and my brother as well. You guys are amazing. We appreciate you guys. Peace and love to everybody. Make sure to rate us on Spotify, on Apple Music, and also big ups to Prediction for always helping us put together. Everybody watching the stream, we love you guys. Everybody on Apple Music and Spotify, you guys are amazing. And we will see you guys next time. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by Grainger, for the ones who get it done.